Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
I love that.
I don't know about that.
Todd, did you put that together?
Yeah, actually used that for our Oktoberfest last
year.
Oh, that's funny.
I love it.
We usually have a much different intro music, Senator. But anyway, we had one to honor you.
You know, we need
to get
for
to
today,
special day.
Since it's Willie Nelson's birthday, we need Willie Nelson doing polka.
That's right.
That ever happen,
right. Let's blend them together.
Let's blend them together.
All right.
By the way, this segment is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand new Pella Windows. Luxurious, sleek, custom colors available. Guaranteed to give your home the extra pop to entertain and keep you comfortable. It's the best of both worlds. Right now, get zero interest for up to 36 months or no down payment, no interest, no payments for up to 18 months if you book before April 30th. That's right. Zero interest up to 36 months or no down payment, no interest, no payments, 18 months. Homeowners have voted Pella number one of the company, the window brand that stands behind their products. Take ownership of your living space. Make it a place worth living with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Yeah. We're with Senator Gary Drzewicki on a very important day, Jim.
This is, as most of, I think, everyone knows, that the state official dance is the polka. And we are learning the process and how that bill became a law. And this is really interesting because it was, even though the senator was the lead senator on it, it was really driven by third and fourth graders. And then, go ahead, Senator, continue with, we talked
about love
this.
Those cards they made.
You must have 100 cards in front of you of kids saying, please, Senator, you know, let's dance, make it a polka, and the official thing.
Oh, that's right. And first off, you two throw so much stuff at me, I can hardly get a chance to fill it all in, okay? So let me start off by saying dzień dobry. In Polish, dzień dobry means good morning or good day. Dzień dobry. So I'd just like to say that for you.
Dzień dobry.
Dzień dobry to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Dzień dobry to you.
So
God bless you.
The hearing was being held fourth floor, north end of the Capitol building. And we didn't know at the time what was going to happen when Senator Lassay scheduled the death penalty and Senate Bill 704, the polka.
Okay.
And the same hearing.
And the same,
same
wow.
hearing.
Okay.
So
yeah.
we see the hearing room filling up with TV cameras. And CNN, they were there.
Wow.
Wall Street Journal, they were there. USA Today, they were there. We all assumed, you know what that word means, we all assumed that it was for the death penalty, right?
Right.
And suddenly, these people fill the hearing room. They're down every single four flights of stairs down into the rotunda, people in the rotunda, and we're thinking, oh boy, this could be a long hearing on the death penalty. And suddenly they're holding up signs that said, make the polka the official state dance now.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
Make the polka.
I love that.
And so Senator Lassay looks at me and he says, well, maybe we'll just move the death penalty back. He didn't much care about the cameras and all that stuff. We'll move the death penalty back and then we'll do the hearing on the polka. And we tried to limit it to 5 minutes per participant. And there's a stack just about as big as these cards of people that wanted to testify on behalf of making the polka the official state dance. One thing leads to another. After about 10 or so people go, I said, now listen, if there is someone that has something new to be said,
right,
we will let you come forward. Come on forward right now. If not, can we just arbitrarily, by unanimous consent, change all of these hearing slips to, instead of speaking in favor of, just saying registering in favor of. No hands went up, no complaint went up, and we did that. So then Senator Lassay tapped, we closed the hearing on that bill and so forth, and somebody yelled out, well, what's next? Alan Lassay, Senator Lassay says, well, as long as we had the hearing, we might as well vote on it right now, go into executive session. And Senator Dave Helbach from Stevens Point, did you ever hear about Polka and Stevens Point together out there as well? And so it was, I think, unanimous out of the committee that we recommended for passage to the full Senate.
So that committee, though, that committee was a bipartisan committee, right?
It was, yes. Three Republicans and two Democrats.
Right.
But
okay.
it went out, I believe, unanimous.
Okay.
I would like to see the one person that voted against the polka. I'd like to run against that person.
It did happen in a full Senate. In a full Senate, it did happen. One
really?
Person. Yep.
No. Oh my gosh!
Don't mention his name or her
okay.
name.
Okay.
All right. So it went. So it passed unanimously. And then it wasn't done.
No. But look, I have to tell you this too. So we thought that they were all there because of the death penalty, right?
Right. Yeah.
The hearing room cleared out, TV cameras and all. They
unbelievable.
They were gone. They cleared out. So that was said then. The bill then goes to the Committee on Senate Organization. And again, you're going to need to pass it in the Senate, and it has to pass the Assembly. On the last possible day of the Senate getting together, it was scheduled for a Senate bill. And the one senator that did vote against it voted because he normally would vote against those types of bills no matter what they were, although he hated to vote against it, he did vote against it, and so forth. So that was how that happened.
So 30 years ago today, what happened?
30 years ago today, and we're going to jump past the Assembly, but I wish we wouldn't have to. I know the time is against us.
No, you're good.
We have a bunch of stuff to talk about. Yeah.
But we have the Todd found the actual audio from Tommy Thompson 30 years ago today in Pulaski.
Wow.
And you were there, right?
Yes, sir. And 1,300 other people, by the way. The largest bill signing that the governor ever had in his tenure as governor of the state of Wisconsin was signing Senate Bill 704. It was Act 411 that year. And even if I would see him in Washington, D.C., he would stop his speech in the middle. He'd point me out in the crowd. He'd say, where else but in Pulaski could 1,300 people come out for a bill signing?
Wow. Let's hear it, Todd. Right,
let's hear it.
The polka is more than a dance. It's, you know, it's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. To be able to sign this bill into law was really, to me, was sort of a capstone. It was bringing everything together. The culture of Wisconsin, the fun times, the exciting times, you know, heritage.
Wow. Love it. Love it.
Isn't that nice to go back to that feeling of, you know, cultural heritage?
Even that and era.
Right. Everybody having fun. 1,300 people. You know, what you think with Governor Thompson was in, what, 15 years?
16.
But all the things he did to think the polka was the most attended. There are all these new buildings and highways, and yet that one drew everybody.
So can you see why I say, okay, boys and girls, let's just take a deep breath.
Yeah. Right.
And we can
all come together on something.
Oh, come on now. And you know what? We might really disagree, but it's not that way. Let's talk about, you might want the same objective that I want. We might want to go about a different path.
Yeah.
And let's just see what we can do, but whatever.
So 30 years ago today, you were in Pulaski. Where did it take place? And then did you have like a someone kick off the first dance, or how'd that all work?
Oh, there were 1,300 people there. Do you mind if I go to the Assembly? Because this is important.
Do whatever you want.
The bill passes
the
Senate.
We're learning too.
You've got the floor.
The bill passes the Senate. Well, thank you, Mr. President. And then when the bill passes the Senate, it gets messaged over to the Assembly. Now it's over there, up to them to take it up and to thumbs up or thumbs down,
and those
or whatever.
It's controlled by the Democrats. You are Republican. Yep. And so was the Senate.
So we pretty much know, well, this isn't going to happen,
right.
But we did our job and everything else. And the bills are going back and forth, and one thing leads to another. The Assembly kept skipping over that bill. They'd get to it, and then they would just skip over, and they would go on. Well, that's legit of a practice that they do. And suddenly, one of the Democrats from the Assembly came back, and I served on that study committee. There was a bill that we came out of that it had to do with snowmobiles and trails, believe it or not, and he wanted us to take up that bill. And I said, well, I'll see what I can do. He said, well, what can I do for you?
Yes.
That's the way it works, huh?
If somebody wants, that's the truth. But you know what? This, I don't think it's immoral or unethical.
No.
If somebody wants
a
bridge or somebody wants a snowmobile trail taken care of, and somebody wants a polka passed, I help you. You help me. That's all right.
Absolutely.
It's
fine.
It's, there are some things you don't cross your principles, right? You don't cross the moral lines where we stand.
Yeah.
But it's something like that.
So we're with Senator Gary Jaworski. People who are just tuning in now. And today's a very special day here in the state of Wisconsin, but out of Pulaski, where he is from and was a senator for this district. Today is 30 years ago that we passed the polka bill, 704, to make the polka the official dance of the state of Wisconsin. And he's going through the process. And it went through the Senate, went through the committee, went through the Senate. It was over at the Assembly.
So now it's being held up, you know, and skipped over and everything else. And all of a sudden, the facts started. By the way, there were four busloads of people that came down from, I forgot what radio station. They were 24-hour polka station that they came down for the hearing. But now, so here we are, and the gallery is full. The gallery is full upstairs in the Assembly, and they keep on skipping over it. And suddenly the facts started coming into Speaker Konicki's office. The facts and the phone calls.
Oh, the old FAX.
Yes.
Okay.
The old FAX and phone calls and facts and messages and notes from. And pretty soon they skipped over it about three times, and he came out and he says, I want my office back. We're going to take this bill up and we're going to vote on it. And so the discussion goes, and then it was amendments and this and that. They had to be fought down, you know, making it mandatory and all that. You know. Okay, fine. Then suddenly they go for a vote All in favor signify by saying aye, and about 8 of the assembly people say aye, and all opposed say no. No! The big yell,
really,
the outcry, the outcry goes, no! Wally Konecki came out of his office. He grabbed the gavel out of Speaker Carpenter's hand. He slapped, he grabbed the gavel. He says, the ayes appear to have it. The ayes have it. Boom! The law is concurred. I'm not making this up. I believe you can find it on video somewhere. I believe you can find it.
Wow. That's beautiful.
That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. All right, so let's talk about...
Okay, now he's in Pulaski.
Yep,
he signed that bill. That's... Biggest bill signing he ever had at Zelensky's ballroom in Pulaski,
okay.
which that building still stands. There were polka bands all over the town. There were like five polka bands going on. It was an all-day event. It was a beautiful day in April back then, and that became the law. Now, when the governor was done, he wanted to dance a polka, so he grabbed my wife, and they danced, and they maybe got halfway around the dance floor, and then the taps on the shoulders went, and there was everybody wanting to dance with the governor.
Yeah.
Then it came time for him to leave. He had more engagements, right?
So sure.
The state trooper, and he depart the building, and they leave the building. They got just about as far as Angelica, about 3 miles on. And Tommy would sometimes use some colorful language, as you might know.
Yeah.
But I'll just say, he just said, the heck with it. We're turning around. I've never had so much fun in my life. And they came back
no.
to Pulaski.
Oh, my God.
And he
God.
Blew off whatever his next appointment was. He stayed for another hour and a half.
That is so great.
That
just
is awesome.
So much of what you just told us were good times. I mean, they were, you know, you debated, and you had a governor that was, you know, a pretty strong Republican, and he got along with everyone because of this bill. I mean, this bill really brought you guys all together.
Well, it brought people together. It was amazing how many people suddenly were out in front of this bill as they told the story, you know, this is my bill. I did. There was one fella even wrote a song about it and recorded it, and he took all kinds of credit for it. He didn't know what was going on until the bill was being signed into law, but it didn't matter.
No.
Everybody's taking credit. Jim, you've been there.
Just
share the wealth. Everybody
can. Yep. At 30 years ago today, congratulations. Thank you for
awesome.
Doing that. When we come back, I want to talk about you did a lot of things, but this is just a fun thing to celebrate, and we appreciate you coming in. But can you stick around for...
I'd be happy to.
All right, great.
Senator
you guys are too much fun. You guys are too much fun.
Celebrating Polka, 30th anniversary today of Polka becoming the state dance. And I don't care if those kids are from Madison. God bless them.
Man, that
was fantastic what they did. Just awesome. And Pulaski is the official or unofficial home?
It's official.
Okay. I'll say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, it's done. Back after this.
There's a garden, what a garden. Only happy faces bloom there. There's never any room there for worry or gloom there. Though there's music and there's dancing and a lot of sweet romancing. But then they play the polka and they all get in the...
Here's a little tune they play in old Milwaukee. It's just a happy little polka melody. Now everybody knows the song at old Milwaukee. The words are easy, so just sing along with me. Old Milwaukee, happy as can be.
Wow.
Old Milwaukee.
How can you not be in a good mood listening
totally
to this, right?
Agree.
I mean, this is just good stuff.
You know what? I'm going to get a big thing of this for my iPod. This is what I'm going to work out to. I think this is a good beat for me to work out.
There'll be people asking you to turn it down like they do in the gym.
Right. With Snoop Dogg.
You're just
going to
work out your biceps with beer with that
Absolutely.
Song.
Absolutely.
So,
that's great. Senator Gary Drzewicki here, celebrating Polka, the 30th anniversary of it becoming the state dance. And as we mentioned, we had the audio from Governor Thompson in Pulaski doing it. How did Pulaski become the official or unofficial, you know, epicenter of Polka? Because there's a lot of other communities with a lot of Polish and whatever around the state, but how did this happen?
Well, if you take it a couple of degrees here, first off, let's just go to the high school band.
Which is phenomenal.
They're unbelievable.
Tremendous.
Every band instructor that I can remember included polka music in their band repertoire, the musical repertoire, somewhere along the line. And some of those people, even the instructors, belonged to polka bands.
I believe it.
Or would fill in. And then these kids grew up with it. So per capita, I believe internationally, there are no places where there are as many polka bands as there are in Pulaski.
And how great it was for Pulaski to really embrace that. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, you were the town chairman, so you were, you know, big part of keeping that heritage on the front burner.
I used to say that if the kid was smart enough to spell their last name, we know they're ready for school. And if they could do the polka, they're ready for Olympic training or at least Olympic tryouts, okay?
Well, okay. I did something mean one time to one of the young reporters.
You know,
Channel 26 gets these young reporters now, and what they do is they, and I think this is a tremendous idea, I really do, they will put them in a community. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great. They get to know all the people, they whatever, they get their contacts. I think that's a wonderful idea that they're doing. And as a former young reporter, I would love that to
right.
have an area that you really get to know. But we're doing a thing with him. I'm sure you're working on one of your first things, working on the big story, on the crime story.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what do you mean? Yeah. I said, well, the unsolved case. Are you talking to the cops? He said, well, no. Can you tell me? Did you know about it? Yeah. I said, the big thing is about who stole the Kishka.
Yeah.
They still haven't found it. And because I don't even know what that is, but I'll find out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you have to go to the young reporters.
Kielbasa, you know, pierogies, right. Lumpke, all that sort of
thing. Let me ask this. So, there are different types of polka music, right? And isn't there a little bit of almost like East Coast rap versus West Coast rap, a little bit of a rivalry between the two?
They'll often call mostly what you hear in Pulaski, they'll mostly call it the Chicago style or the fast, the Little Wally or Eddie Bazancic, those kind of music, which is a faster beat, a more distinctive beat. Then there's the Bohemian style where you hear more of the tuba emphasis.
Okay.
And people will call that the Oompa-pa polka. Still great music. You know, there's... I can enjoy almost all kinds of music, maybe not rap. But anyways, I can, a lot of music.
I could sing you some rap.
Yeah, that's
please
okay.
Don't.
Okay.
So, okay, Cider, we only got you for another, 5 minutes. Uh-huh. So you're...
guys, texture, Jim. Hell of a story. Thank you guys for bringing like this. I haven't laughed this hard in a very long time.
All right. So you were with Eddie Bazancic. Is that the guy that you like, his polka? I just got to get...
Oh, the Maroshek brothers.
Okay.
And then there's their kids, and then there's their grandkids got banned. So you see how it goes down the family line?
Absolutely.
Careful, because Johnny can do the TV polka, but we don't have time for that. Yeah, we'll do that after. Yeah. But hey, Senator, so you served, like I said, town chairman. You were obviously in the Senate for, two or three terms? I remember coming to see you. This is what I want to say about you. And I was talking to my wife yesterday about you coming on. You always stepped out to meet people, even though maybe we didn't have proper appointments, but you always came off the floor, out of your office, and you were very accessible. I want to just congratulate you for that, because that's very, very important.
Well, thanks. And you try to be, and again, as I said before, there might be some disagreement in where myself and another person,
right?
But let's talk about what we really want in the end, right, and how we might be able to get there. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not collusion.
No.
That's not collusion.
No,
that's just working together. That's being
absolutely
smart.
So something else that you worked on a lot of stuff. I was kind of reading up on you. But farming is important to you.
Sure. Of course, I grew up on a farm. I live on the home farm that you know I bought from my mom and so forth. So here we go. There was a bill that came out, the Wisconsin Right to Farm legislation. Well, certainly I was on that. I was a Senate lead on that. We passed that. There were, you know, lots of different bills that you can get involved in. Some bills you're supportive, and some bills you take the front end and you charge and you lead with it. And that was one I was more than happy to lead with.
That's awesome. And then you worked on some sports too, right?
A constitutional amendment for the right to hunt and fish. Never thought we'd have to have that, but when we see, you know, the opposition building up and we see hunts being disrupted by certain groups and so forth, and then so far back then I don't think they were paid participants like they are today, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But they would come and disrupt hunts, so we authored that bill. Now that was blocked. Senator Quala blocked that bill, and then of course those who remember a little bit of history might know that he was
How's
charged.
How's he doing?
He was, well, I don't know. He's doing. He was charged with 21 felonies of what he did against me in the next election.
Yeah.
And he actually copped to two. I got to think about that now. He's a convicted felon.
Yeah.
Can he legally own a firearm?
No.
Can he legally vote?
No.
I bet that nobody checks on that.
Yeah. Well, but it got through.
It got through.
It got through.
Eventually, in the next session.
Right, we have that. So tell me, let's just, in the last couple of minutes we have, tell me about the guy who's served in politics for many, many years. What do you think the state is right now? They just, you must follow it. I know your son's pretty involved in politics.
Well, I don't know if Eric's involved in politics. He's really heavily involved in his neighborhood association.
Right.
And I give him credit. And that's a lot of what's happened, you know, with the schooling and so forth as we raise them. But listen, my heart is heavy. There are times when literally, Jim, John, I have to turn the news off.
Yeah, I believe that.
I just have to turn it off. My heart is heavy for it's more personal destruction than it has anything to do with good public policy.
Yeah.
More personal destruction. And that's both sides. I'm not giving anybody a pass here. Not giving anybody a pass here. But it's heavy to go. So coming up, National Day of Prayer. Let's all pray for America.
It's Thursday, right?
Yes, Thursday. You know, I don't care, you know, where your faith is, denomination, where you go. Listen, we need to pray for this country.
Yeah.
We really need to pray for this country and for some unity to make sense of it.
Yeah, and that's been around a long, long time. President Lincoln kicked that off, I think.
It's been around, I think, might have been Truman, but doesn't matter who passed. It doesn't matter. It's still important. And we're commanded to pray for those that are in authority and for those who have the bullet.
They need help. I mean, they need
and protection.
Protection. But anyway, I appreciate all you've done. And it's fun today to just really sit back and think 30 years ago. And I think any of our listeners who are, you know, 40 years old, 10 years old, that was a big deal in the state. Like you said, CNN, Wall Street Journal, everybody was covering that. And I think that's just one of those fun things we can look back at. Thank you again.
What I would ask you to do, and the listeners to do as well, the next time that you're at a wedding and there's a disc jockey up there or whatever, a band up there, make note of the percentage of the participants when they play different kinds of music, but when they play a polka.
It fills the floor.
If that floor doesn't fill up, just make note of that. I'm just going
to
say.
I think you're right, and it's a fun thing to have no matter what kind of genre you have for the music. You got to deviate to the polka.
It's impossible not to be in a good mood if you're out there polking.
Right.
Yes.
So, all right.
Outstanding. Well, Senator Gary Drzewiecki, thanks so much for being here on the 30th anniversary of the polka becoming the official state dance of Wisconsin.
Oh, thanks for having me, you guys.
You bet.
Thank you. We're going to send our quick break. Pete Doherty, Green Bay.
Could you take us out with your polka, polka, poker show?
Yeah. Okay. Hey. Good to have you all here today. We got Eddie Bujinski and his entire gang. They come up there from Kenosha. And I'll tell you what, we got to get that dance floor full. Margie, you grab that lazy son of a buck and get him out there. Come on, Ralphie. Get on out there. Don't be shy.
You can
finish that drink later. Here we go. Got a new one here. It's called Polka on Sundays.
All this music and this dancing and a lot of sweet romancing. But then they play the polka and they all get in the swing every time they play that papa.
Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back here, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and a good looking morning, 47 degrees in Green Bay, 46 in Appleton, 50 in Oshkosh. Special thanks to Senator Gary Drzewiecki, 30th anniversary of Wisconsin celebrating polka as the official state dance. And now we're bringing up a guy who a lot of people don't realize this, aside from covering the Green Bay Packers, you know, 24/7, 365, also is a member of a polka band.
No.
Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette.
Yeah, it's well known as the polka.
Yeah. Yeah.
The founding member of a polka band, right?
Yes. Wasn't it you, Cliff Crystal, and McGinn? Domofsky. Domofsky was a kid. Yeah, you need a
right.
Polish.
It was Domofsky and Zima, so yeah.
That's right. Jim Zima. Yes, exactly. Yeah. How you doing, Pete Doherty?
Good, John. How are you?
Good. I know it's your goal. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I mentioned to somebody about back in my day, but actually my very first day in Green Bay working in sports was draft day 1984, and I was staying at the Arena Motel.
Nice.
And walked over to Channel 11, and I want to say the first draft selection was 6 o'clock in the morning, and the last one was about midnight that night. Is that true, Pete?
it's probably not that far off. It's funny, after the draft on Saturday, I went out with a few reporters, and Mark Daniels was there. And I think he said his first draft, I think he said it was the Eddie Lee Ivory draft. So I don't know if that was, 79, 80, somewhere in there?
Yeah, 79 or 80, yep.
And he said that what they did for that was the reporters just sat in the old locker room over there.
Yep.
When it was on, the north side of the stadium.
Yep.
And they had a felt board up, and the equipment guy would come up and tack a name on there on who they picked.
I mean,
wow. The world has changed drastically. The NFL world has changed.
And you'd watch. You'd wait for like Bob Knoll or somebody to come walking in with this.
That's who
piece.
It was. Yeah, it was Bob Knoll. Yeah.
And all the reporters would watch as he put it up on the board and walked away. And that was it.
Yeah. And that was funny hearing Mark describe that. Yeah.
Yep.
And now, Pete, they get 700,000 attendees to come and stand outside and watch that. So it's unbelievable.
Well, I hope I hope nowhere near 700,000 or whatever, 750 come to Green Bay, or they're going to swallow this city.
We were just talking about that, Pete. When I was watching that, I mean, it sounds like a great idea, and I think it's phenomenal that we got it, but looking at the mass of humanity in Detroit, it's like, can we handle this?
I'm guessing they couldn't handle that many, but it sounds like they're not expecting that, and they think that the attendance is very much a function of how big the metro area is, hope they're right.
Well,
it sounds like they're expecting about half that.
Well, okay. But I don't know about that. I know that I read that too, but you know, they said 70% of the people drive. Well, this is pretty drivable here. Even Detroit, there's millions of people that live in, the states of Wisconsin, Detroit, Minnesota. I think we're gonna get a lot of people here. And I think two reasons. One is it's growing every year. I mean, from Las Vegas to Kansas City to Detroit, it's been growing. Secondly, I think people want to see Lambeau Field. I do. I think that's right up there with Fenway Park. And so I think we're going to get a lot of people here. And I talked to a friend of mine who's a retired police officer. I said, are they calling you guys back? The retired guys, but pay them not cash, but whatever.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect their pension. But he said, I don't know what they're going to do, but I think that's something. But we talked to the mayor last week, Pete, and he's pretty confident, right, Johnny?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
This is not going to be a problem. Yeah. So I don't know.
We'll see a year from now. I was talking with a local law enforcement guy, and he said it sounds like, they're going to be bringing up, policemen from Milwaukee. I think they're commandeering just about every ambulance in the state, so they have, so they can respond to emergencies.
Right.
And you probably, I don't doubt that you're right, that and people are going to be driving in droves. And I mean, when they won the Super Bowl in, it must have been the one in 10, 2010, flying in, they had the thing at Lambeau Field like the next day, where everybody came to Lambeau Field. And I flew in, like 5 or 6 o'clock at night, and it was, dark because it was January or February.
Right.
And it had ended, and everybody was leaving, and all the highways were just clogged. You could see it flying in. I mean, it's going to be 3 days of that if we've got people driving in from, all over Wisconsin and from the Twin Cities and Chicago. It'll be something. I hope they're ready for it.
But we're having some fun brainstorming about the entrepreneurial spirit that we have here.
How can we make this work for me and the mayor?
We just want to make some money.
We want to make some money, Pete. If you have any ideas, please let us know.
We had a guy here that makes the best, really, Johnny, he does the best fried cheese curds.
Yeah.
He was on our show, so we might get his recipe.
Yeah.
Johnny wants to make
pasties,
sell those.
And homemade booze.
Yep. So we're going to cash in on this.
Bathtub gin, huh,
yeah, absolutely. Hey, Pete, how is it though covering an event like that? I mean, is it almost overwhelming, or do you guys get pretty well taken care of?
Even for that one, next year, it's going to be a nightmare, I would assume, getting over to the stadium.
Yeah.
But the actual covering part, everything that's going on with the league, that doesn't matter because, you're just basically in the Packers auditorium out there, in the media auditorium.
Yeah.
And when they make picks, they get guys on conference calls. Every once in a while, they'll bring down a scout to talk about whatever players, the last few players they've taken. At the end of the night, Gutekunst on Thursday and Friday comes out and, does a 20-minute press conference, 25 minutes. And then Saturday, LaFleur comes too when it's all done. So it's both of them. So it's all right there. It is super interesting. It's really enjoyable to see who they pick, see why they pick them. I try to put all the pieces together of what they're thinking, what they're up to. But there's a huge downside because there's just a ton of hurry up and waiting. I mean, you're sitting there waiting and waiting. But the actual, once the picks come and once you can ask questions of people, that part's super, super interesting because, obviously, this is the lifeblood of the team is draft picks. And, as we all know, nobody has any clue whether these guys are going to be any good, no matter how highly they're touted or how lowly they're touted. You never know.
Seventh
round picks turn out great. Tony Mandarich is a total bust,
right.
Well, not only Tony Mandarich, who was it? Derek Sherrard a few years ago. I remember John Michaels. I mean, you can go on and on with. I mean, Tony, unfortunately, is, you know, because he was built up so high. But you'd be surprised at how many number one and number two draft picks around the NFL just fizzle.
I would strongly advise anybody who, like, you know, I do a chat every week and I get questions sometimes where people, you know, what a horrible drafter Gutekunst is, and even before last year's, especially before last year's draft. But go back, get on to drafthistory.com.
Yep.
And go look at the first round for, you know, the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And you'll just go,
wow,
really good player, decent player, no good, decent player. I mean, they miss. Even in the first round, there are way more misses than hits. Or go look at team by team. Go look at one team's draft for 10 years.
Yeah.
And you'll be amazed at how few good, you know, player, eye-catching players there are. There just aren't that many.
Yep. And it's amazing, too. What team was that I was reading where, like, every offensive line, one of the good teams, like, I want to say every offensive lineman was a free agent or a really low draft pick. And it's one of the really good teams. I think off the top of my head, I can't think of who it is. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in this, too. And I think you'd be the same way, Pete. If Vince Lombardi used to have, you know, try to fool the spies, and you have Bart Starr in like a number 72 jersey taking them, you know. But what I'm saying is, if you went to a team that you didn't really know that well, and everybody was just in the white, you know, no numbers on them, you would have a hard time determining who's like the number one guy and who's the number three guy on the depth chart, because that's so close with the physical. And I always say that, especially with quarterbacks. You used to love to get out as early as possible on a Sunday game just to watch the backup quarterbacks throw a football. And if you didn't know which one was, you know, the number one, with the way all these guys can throw a football, it's such a small difference, isn't it, though, Pete? And you never know sometimes, though, what makes that difference.
It is, and there's, you know, kind of by definition, most of the league is mostly average players. I mean, it's by definition. And then it's the teams that have a couple better stars than the rest of the teams, and usually that's a quarterback. And you talk about the later picks, even, you know, look at the Packers. I mean, everybody who follows this team knows this. All the offensive linemen, you know, Sitton, Lang, fourth rounders, Lindsley was a 5, Tauscher was a 7.
What was Bakhtiari?
Bakhtiari was a 4, and he's, you know, he was an all-pro. Yep. I mean, you know, there are, you can find really good players all through the draft. It gets harder each round you go down. It gets harder, but there's still some there.
What were you most surprised at with the Packers selections, Pete? Or were you surprised at all?
Not super surprised. Like, you know, I thought maybe they'd end up with a corner higher, but you can't take everything. You know, even having 5 picks in the first 3 rounds, which is a lot, that's still only 5 picks. You know, you're going to leave some positions unaddressed because you take one. That means you didn't take somebody else. I wondered if they'd double up at running back too. I still thought that was a big need, even with Jacobs, and just because of the high injury attrition rate at that position.
Right.
But they went more need based than Gutekunst historically has. I mean, two off ball linebackers and 3 safeties, and that was the 2 open starting jobs in the whole roster. So he picked 5 guys for those 2 spots, kind of playing the odds, you know, at least one of them at each of those positions he's hoping will be, you know, good enough to be a pretty good player for him.
You know, I don't get, you know, I've been burnt too many times by saying, oh, look out for this, watch this guy. I've been burnt a million times, as we all have, okay? But one of the guys, and it's funny sometimes when you see somebody play a full game and you don't pay too much attention, but it really stands out. Watch the Arizona State against USC game this past year. And I just remember thinking, holy crap, who's this number 0 for USC? He was averaging over 10 yards a carry. He was catching balls all over the field. I really liked him a lot. I got to be honest with you, Pete.
Yeah, Marshawn Lloyd, you know, he was, I don't know, he must have been only about the 4th back off the board, I think. You know, he was pretty high amongst all the backs. He's a short guy, but he's 220 pounds. I'm guessing that's why they didn't care about the height, is because he's only like 5'8.5" or 5'8.75". But 220, you know, and they're playing these games up here in December and January. You know, it doesn't hurt to have a little extra, you know, bulk and power.
Yeah. And lower to the ground.
I've done this for so long. You know, people, you know, they because we all want to know, did they have a good draft? And there's just, I just have learned that to have an opinion on the quality of the picks, you can criticize positions, other stuff, but have an opinion about the quality of the picks is it's pointless, because people in the league don't know, let alone, it's still more art than science. With all the millions of dollars they pour into scouting, it's still more art than, or as much art as it is science.
You know, Pete Rock said the same thing.
Yeah.
You just don't know how they work in the locker room, how they work on the field.
He also said one other thing.
What's that?
The players know very quickly.
That's what I'm saying, the locker room.
All the scouting, all the whatever, the players amongst themselves know.
This guy's going to make it or not.
Yes. Wouldn't you agree, Pete?
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure that the coaches do. I mean, I've heard I'm sure you were there. Rich Campbell show up? And like after one of the first practice or two, Bob Schnelker said the guy can't throw, basically.
Lynn Dickey said that after playing warm-up catch with him.
Yeah.
He told us that on our show about a month
or
so ago.
He was on our show and said that.
He said, I played catch with Rich Campbell and thought to myself, oh, my God, this guy can't play. Isn't that something?
Pete, do you follow any other team? I kind of asked Rock that, and we have a lot of friends. I went to Norbert, so there's a lot of people from, you know, Northern Illinois, the Chicago area, and they're just gaga over their draft. Do you think draft? And I'm just thinking that they rated the 32 teams. I was surprised how low Dallas was, and they say who had a good draft, who had a bad draft. But do you have a comment on any of the other 31 teams besides us?
You know, not really. I mean, I don't follow closely. Like of course you see who's picking who, especially as they go through the first round and the early second round, you're seeing who's going to what team. But you get so wrapped up in knowing everything you can about what the Packers are doing that you're only partially paying attention. The one thing I'll say is, if a team is picking, if you have multiple first round picks, people are going to love your draft. They're going to say it was a great draft. Right. Bears had multiple picks. They had the first pick and the ninth pick. Those are both really high drafts. They filled two huge needs, receiver and quarterback. So it looks great. But I remember Cleveland had, I don't know how many years ago this was, but when they drafted, who's the Notre Dame quarterback?
Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn. They drafted him, and I don't even remember who the second guy was. And everybody was just raving about this incredible draft they had.
Yeah.
And, Quinn was a total bust. And
total.
And the other guy was, too. And it was it wasn't a good draft.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, can you stick around? We got a one-minute break. Can you stick around?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us to talk about the Packer draft back right after this. Welcome back. Mine on the mayor here on Willie Nelson's birthday. Also the 30th anniversary of Pulaski, or exactly, Polka being the official dance and song of Wisconsin. And the governor was there a few years back to dedicate 30. That 30 years ago. We're with Pete Doherty. Pete, who, as I mentioned, is a huge polka enthusiast. Pete, I got a text here. Great to hear from Pete. I remember schooling him in the Green Bay Rec Basketball League. Love his work in the Press Gazette.
Sounds like a complete lie, whoever that was. That was the one doing the schooling, I've got to think.
There you go.
Pete, you've covered a lot of drafts and the way things have gone. Are you getting a sense of Gutekis' own stamp on a draft versus a Ted Thompson or even a Ron Wolf?
Yeah, Thompson was a little more, he was more cautious in the first round. I don't think he traded around as much with the high picks. And he would take the safer player. I think Gutekunst is willing to go more for upside. Like, for instance, I bet if you went back to the A.J. Hawk draft, he was the safer player of the two. I'm guessing if Gutekunst had been running that, they'd have picked Vernon Davis instead. For instance,
I wanted him back then, even. I wanted Vernon Davis. Yep. He was a stud.
He was. He was a marvel. In that way, they're different, but he's also very much of the Ted Thompson school. Primary positions, quarterback, tackle, cornerback, and maybe receiver. Those are the positions that you're really shooting for with your early picks. And bigger is better.
Pete, I made this prediction. Burke on the other day too. I said within 3 years the Packers will be in a Super Bowl. What do you think?
It's a real chance. I mean, we still don't know for sure. The quarterback could plateau. He could run into some issues. Maybe defensive coordinators this offseason find a thing or two that really bothered him last year that, in the week-to-week game planning teams didn't pick up on. And maybe he won't have a response to it. But, man, if I'm the Packers, I'm feeling pretty good about things because I thought that guy looked I mean, he looked pretty good by the end of the year, didn't he?
A lot of people are feeling that too. Yeah.
Yeah, and that talent, that draft last year, I don't know that there are any all-pro guys who will end up being all-pros, maybe. But, you know, there's nobody who just jumps out, oh, that guy's definitely going to be an all-pro. But for just quality, pretty good players, top to bottom, this could end up being the best draft since I started covering in 93. So the talent base is, there's some real talent there, especially the skill positions, all those young receivers and tight ends. So it's a real possibility, you know, they just, as long as they don't get fat and happy, you know.
Right, right. But I do think the community, I can speak for the community, they sure feel like it's within grasp. So it's going to be exciting to watch these guys. So the draft, you know, Johnny and I watched it. I don't think that's the most, I don't know, it's not a cliffhanger, those drafts, because there's so much time in between.
Oh, God.
But I got an idea. I was thinking about this, Johnny. I didn't even tell you this morning. I think to make the draft more exciting, you got 32 teams, you should auction the player off. Because they're all capped at, what, $290 million? What is the salary cap this
year? Auction them out. What do you mean by that, Jim?
Just say the guy comes up and say, look, I'll pay X amount. Take the player up there and put him and say, look, I'll give $1 million, $2 million, and you know,
kind of like the old Bachelor when women would bid for bachelors.
Go,
yeah, okay, yeah, that's exciting. A great idea, Jim. No, that is a really good idea.
All right, back.
And I'm gonna call Goodell in a little bit. Yeah, sorry to waste your time on that. 2 minutes, Pete. Pete, heading into this season with the Packers, and obviously, you know, you and I have talked about this in years past. Where I remember I was with the Lindy Show and everything, and it had 89, and it's like, oh man, we're there, man, and it's like, it's surprising how quickly you can go from feeling a little bit fat and sassy and on paper and everything. And this is such an unforgiving league, though, isn't it, Pete? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and things can turn fast.
Yeah.
If one or two of your outstanding, your best guys gets hurt,
yep,
or if their play declines for, you know, if they hit 28 and it starts going, they're not quite as good. I mean, you could go from being good to not very good. It can happen in a heartbeat. And that's why, you know, these teams with the great quarterback, that's the great equalizer.
That is.
That guy can, he'll win you games. And so, yeah, it can turn fast. And you can, just like you can go from, I mean, you can go from horrible to really good. Look at the Rams, you know, all those in the 90s.
Right.
They were the worst team for a decade, and they kept missing on picks. But eventually you pick that high, you're going to find some players. They stumble into Kurt Warner, and they go from 3-13 to 13-3 in one offseason.
Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. But, you know, another funny thing is you talk about people getting, you know, it's like, oh, we got it now. Go back and see how many NFL coaches of the year were fired within about 5 years after that.
Oh, Ray Rhodes, right? His first year as a coach in Philly, he was coach of the year. And 4 years later, he's fired, and he gets 1 year here, and he's gone.
Yes, that's what I mean. It's an unforgiving, very tough business. Well, Pete, one last quick thing for you as far as all the different regimes you've covered and everything. How's this one to deal with?
Pretty good. They treat, you know, both Gutekunst and LaFleur, they treat people really respectfully up at the podium. That wasn't always the case. You know, Mike McCarthy, you talked to Mike McCarthy one-on-one, I really enjoyed it. He was helpful and you'd learn some things. But up at the podium, he was really abrasive, you know. So as far as that stuff goes, they're fine. But it's all, you know, that stuff doesn't matter. It's all kind of the same. I mean, our job is still the same, to find out what you can, figure out what's going on, figure out why they're winning or losing. And so to a large degree, it doesn't matter who's in charge or how they're treating you.
Well, thanks for bringing, I think everybody, if they don't follow you, they sure should. But, man, you write what's real about it. I don't think you sugarcoat things, and I love reading your following of the Packers.
I love the fact that Cliff, of course, was a legend but I think it's cool that you and Tom Silverstein are still in the trenches doing all this. I've known you guys for 30-some years, and you guys are still, you're still bringing it strong. I think that's cool.
So do I.
I can't believe I've been doing, I mean, just add it up. My first year covering the team was 93. I mean, it's just staggering. It feels like I've been doing it for about 10 years, not 30 something.
Well, that's good.
Isn't it crazy though, Pete, over the years?
Yeah.
Have the players changed at all?
Not really. I guess the one thing that's changed is there's so much media and social media now, that they have other ways to get, to deal with the public. You know, there's X and Instagram and, you know, all those things. So that part of it has changed, but, you know, human nature hasn't changed for what, 10,000 years, so it's not going to change in 30.
So the days of when I'd get somebody on my one of my TV shows when they'd ask me to, and they'd bring a VHS and ask me to record it for them so they could show their girlfriends back home or some, those don't happen anymore?
No, they don't. They don't ask you to bring in the clip of the story when it runs.
Right.
No,
there's but they actually did, didn't they, Pete? I'm not lying about that. With the VHS tapes, they'd bring in a VHS tape and ask us to record it so they could send it home. Yeah. Pete Doherty, pleasure having you on. You have been just phenomenal in your career, and I'm not BSing you because we're friends. You've been awesome. I sure appreciate everything you do.
Thanks for having me, guys, and hope you call back soon.
Well, you got it, thanks, buddy. Pete. Thank you. Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette in USA. He's awesome. We come back. We've got Jane Benson, Wisconsin Grassroots Festival in Appleton. Stay with us.
Just have one, your others, they've got none. Oh.